Invite your attention to the book of Proverbs, particularly in just a moment. We'll begin in Proverbs chapter 2. Back in 2006, NBC had a TV series that was entitled Treasure Hunters. I never saw the series myself, but I understand the plot was that they took 10 groups of three people, and each group of three people were on a team. These 10 teams were set out across North America and across Europe on a hunt for treasure. They were given various tasks to complete, various challenges that they were to face, various competitions that they had to enter in order to try to find this hidden treasure. Don't know whether it was revealed at the beginning of the show or not, but by the time the season finale came around, it was found that this treasure that they were on this hunt for was to the sum of $3 million. So you can imagine these teams set out with great zeal, diligently searching for this treasure that was set before them. Each wanted to obtain it first. Each wanted it for themselves. And so they were driven by it. Do you know that idea of diligently searching for something of great value should describe the life of a Christian as well? That we too are on a great treasure hunt, but not for a physical treasure. Not for that which will be eaten by moths and rust and will decay, but that which truly will last. In fact, that's what the Proverbs writer is trying to encourage his son here to do. Solomon wants his son to seek after those things that are right, to seek after those things that are good, and do so with all of his heart. And we find this type of idea expressed for us here in Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to take the time to read verse 1 through 9. He says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, and every good path." Yes, just as Solomon says there for his son to be a searcher of wisdom, he's going to tell him to seek it out even as he would for his treasures. Verse 4, "So we also should be treasure hunters." Again, not for that physical treasure that we might find in the earth, but that which is spiritual. Particularly this wisdom. How are we going to obtain it? I think there are a number of lessons that Solomon teaches us there concerning the difference between earthly and spiritual treasure. And also some similarities. For first off, we're going to learn that just like that earthly treasure, wisdom has to be sought after. In fact, it has to be sought diligently after. He's telling him to put forth the same effort here that you would put into finding that earthly treasure. Put that kind of effort, that kind of diligence into seeking wisdom. It doesn't take very long for us to look around in the world and find a lot of examples of people that are searching for treasure. They'll spend their lives. In fact, we can even go and learn of people that spend their lives on treasure hunts, literally. People that study oceanography, people that study sonar maps and study shipwrecks so that they can go out and search diligently all of their lives for these buried treasures of the sea that may or may not be found. We can find people that are diligently going about their lives, maybe working 2, 3, 4 jobs, not simply to provide for their family, but to provide the luxuries of life They drive themselves to find that kind of treasure. And while that certainly should not be our goal, nevertheless, when we turn to things that are spiritual, that is the kind of drive that we should exhibit as Christians. If we're going to gain that knowledge and that wisdom that he's speaking of here, we're going to have to understand it begins with the fear of the Lord. He says this in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And also again in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. He's reminding his son there, if you're going to know knowledge, if you're going to gain wisdom, which is the application of that knowledge, then it's going to begin with God. It's going to begin with this fear of the Lord, which is a proper respect, a proper submission, and a humbleness before God. That I am going to recognize Him as the source of true wisdom. Well, how many will never learn wisdom simply because they will not humble themselves to God? Simply because they would rather think that they know those things that are right for themselves and never turn and seek after God's knowledge and seek after God's wisdom. We have to understand that here is a storehouse of wisdom, a storehouse of knowledge that is waiting to be probed, waiting to be studied, that we might find that wisdom that we are seeking. But that's not going to happen if we don't have a proper respect for God and therefore also a proper respect for His Word. Solomon reminds his son here in chapter 1, I am setting before you knowledge. I am setting before you wisdom. Here Solomon, one of the greatest, wisest men that ever walked upon the face of the earth. And he's setting forth these principles for his son. And now by inspiration, we still have them even recorded for us today. I am setting these things before you. In fact, even as we go forward, into chapter 1, as he speaks of wisdom and begins to personify her as a woman. He says in verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate. In the city she uttereth words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Wisdom is literally pictured here for us as crying out, wanting us to seek her, wanting us to listen to her words that she has laid up for us. But in that's an understanding. My son, as I am setting before you wisdom, as I am setting before you these principles, as I'm setting before you this idea of wisdom that longs to be sought after, that's exactly what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to seek after wisdom. You're going to have to apply these principles to your life. Therein, again, is another great lesson. Not simply that you need to know these things, that you need to study them, but that you have to apply them to your life. You see, we can gain knowledge and we can know a lot of great things, but if we never put them to practical use in our lives, they are of little value. We can know right from wrong, and that doesn't help us if we don't practice it. We can know those things that are good. We can know those things that are pleasing unto God. We can know God's plan of salvation. Unfortunately, there are those that have gone to their deaths and people have said of them, what a treasure of knowledge of God's Word he had laid up in his head. How much of it he had memorized. And yet, unfortunately, many of those have gone even into their deaths. And while they have studied those things, while they have learned them, have never made proper application of them to their lives. People have studied the Bible even just merely as a textbook. There are things that they know about it, but they haven't allowed it to impact their lives. And it has done no good. And so here again, there is earthly treasure. It's available for those that may be seeking it. Wisdom also is available. But it's not typically just going to fall out of the sky. It's something we're going to have to seek for. Something we're going to have to put forth this effort to obtain. And that's exactly what we read in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. You go back through that section again, particularly in verse 1 through 4. And you notice action words that are going to jump out at you off the page. You begin in chapter or verse 1. Hide the commandment. You go into verse 2. Incline your ear. Again, apply thy heart to understanding. Verse 3. Cry after knowledge. Verse 3. Lift up your voice for understanding. Verse 4. Seek her as silver. Search for her as hidden treasures. It doesn't say sit back and these things are going to come unto you. He says, even as a man would rise up from his house and go forth on a hunt for lost treasure, for those things that are considered valuable in the world, you put forth that type of effort and even greater effort to obtain those things that are good, to obtain those things that are lasting, to obtain the things that are of eternal worth, the wisdom that God has laid up for us in His Word. That's going to take diligence. It's going to take persistence. It's not something He says is going to happen overnight. He's going to have to work at it as He applies these things to our lives. Oh, but what great value there is in it. Even as we read in the Scripture reading tonight from Matthew chapter 13. Verse 44 through 46, and you think about that man that found that hidden treasure in a field, and what was it worth to him? Did he just put it back and say, oh well, I'll cover it up, maybe somebody some other day will find it? No, he was willing to put forth great effort in order to obtain it. What he found must have been of great value. Because he was willing to go and he was willing to sell everything that he had that he might come back and buy that field that he could possess it and obtain the great treasure that was in that field. He stumbled upon something great and he recognized the value of it. What about in our own lives? Here we can stumble across the great treasures of God's Word, and are we going to recognize the greatness of what we found? The value of what we have found? And how are we going to express that? Do we show a value that we place upon God's Word when we ignore it and when it has no place in our lives, when we don't apply it to our lives? Or do we show that value when we diligently seek after God's Word? We want to digest more and more of it. We want it to be a part of our lives. We want it to mold our lives, that it indeed becomes a part of us. He goes on and he talks about this merchant man that was seeking goodly pearls, and he found one of great price. And again, he went and sold all that he had to buy it. Here was one that was seeking for something great. He recognized it when he found it. Oh, and the value he placed on it. Whatever he possessed, this is what he wanted more than anything else. He was willing to give all that he might find it. He was willing to seek after it. And when he found it, he clung to it with all that he had. He treasured it. And so again, must also be the treasures of God's Word. Must be our understanding of the kingdom of God, the church, the plan of salvation. All that is encompassed there within the ideas of the gospel and God's Word were of great value and treasure, so that he clung to them. Yes, indeed, wisdom is a great treasure. Far greater than earthly treasure, but that wisdom must be sought. And he continues, we also find that earthly treasure is elusive, but wisdom will be found. I want you to think again about the scenario we started with, this show, Treasure Hunters. 10 teams set out on this hunt for that treasure. How many found it? How many reached the goal? How many were or could be crowned the winners? But one team. How many of the people we spoke about a minute ago that may spend their lives as hunters of the depths of the ocean trying to find these great valuable shipwrecks that they know were probably somewhere, yet how many times do they come up empty-handed? How many times do they put forth great sums of money to go out on these expeditions and they come back and we didn't find anything? How many people have lived their lives as slaves to money, constantly seeking after it, and yet when they reach the end of their lives, they find they have nothing? Even if they have a great bank account, it may be they've deserted everybody. They've neglected everybody in their lives. They're not surrounded with anyone. It may even be they've gained great riches for themselves and have squandered them. How many of our public figures, athletes, celebrities, music stars, whatever you might think of, that make millions of dollars, billions of dollars even in their lifetime, and yet you find out they're absolutely broke. They've gained all of this, and now it's gone. How many dread the day that maybe the stock market would just plummet? Because that's where all of their treasure is stored. And with that gone, they see nothing for which to live, because that's their treasure. You see, that kind of earthly treasure can be elusive. You may or you may not find it. You can spend all of your life, all of your effort, and you may not ever even lay your hands on it. Solomon says that's not how wisdom is. Wisdom will be found of those that properly seek after her. But again, as he said before, it's going to take effort. It's going to have to be diligently sought after. But when you do that, he says, you will find it. You will be granted the reward for which you are seeking. Look again in chapter 2 and verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. There is a reward for your diligent search. Drop down to verse 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Solomon, is there any value that I'm going to find if I put forth this search? Yes. If you truly are seeking the right things, you're going to gain them. You're going to gain the wisdom you're seeking after if you are studying in God's Word. You see, wisdom can be found. But it's only going to be found of those that will listen to her. Those that will go to her in order to learn from her. Again, go back to chapter 1. Where wisdom is pictured as crying out in the streets. And it says in verse 32 and 33, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, that is wisdom, shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Is there a reward for seeking after wisdom and seeking after those things that are right? Yes, because she can be found. Remember how he pictures wisdom there in chapter 1 as one crying out in the streets and longing for people to listen to her. She's not running away. She's not trying to hide. She's not doing her best not to be found. She wants people to listen to her. She wants people to learn from her. And when we will do that, oh, the great reward. Chapter 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Happy indeed is the one that is going to put forth that kind of search. And yet many people search after those elusive earthly treasures and never find them. But if you're seeking after that spiritual wisdom, it will be found. But again, you're going to have to search properly. You know, take those people that search the ocean floors, the people that were involved in this show, Treasure Hunters. Could they just set out and say, well, I'm just going to go pick a random place and I'm going to start digging. And if I find it, I find it. If I don't, that's okay. You won't find many people with that attitude. They're going to do their best to search for it. In fact, they're going to look in the proper spot. Again, picture the treasure map. Treasure map that's been found, and it says X marks the spot. Here are the landmarks surrounding it. This is the location where that treasure can be found. What are you going to do? I'm going to follow the map. I'm going to set forth to that spot in which it says the treasure can be found. If I'm looking for that treasure in this show, I'm going to go forth through the competitions, through the puzzles, through everything that I have to endure that I might be on that winning team. But what of wisdom? You're going to have to search for it at the proper spot, at the proper place or the proper location. And he says, we know that spot. for wisdom cometh from the very mouth of God. Again, Proverbs 2 and verse 6. The Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. If I want to know knowledge, if I want to know understanding, if I want to know wisdom, where am I going to go? So many turn to the ways of the world. Maybe they'll gain great degrees. And maybe they'll know many things. Maybe they'll become an astrophysicist or a rocket scientist or whatever the highest degree of learning you might want to imagine. Maybe they'll become a great medical doctor that's unmatched in his skill, in his knowledge. And yet, what does that offer us when this world ends? We've had but a temporary or a momentary place of honor, of renown, of popularity. But eternally it offers nothing. And yet here God says, if you want to know something that's good, something that will last, something that's going to benefit you even for all of eternity, it flows forth from my mouth. You know the source. Go to it. Turn to God. So many willing to go after earthly philosophies instead of simply turning to the pages of God's Word. And so Paul would say, I set forth not to proclaim men, but the Word of God. That which was true, that which was right, that which was to the benefit or the salvation of man's souls. That's what I was interested in. That's what I wanted to proclaim. And Paul believed indeed that it could be known and would be known of those that sought after it. Even as Jesus Christ Himself said, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If I want wisdom and knowledge, where am I going to go? Jesus says, go to My Word. Go to the things that I have spoken. Go to that which we now have as the inspired Word of God and learn from it, and you can know the truth, and it will set you free. It's not going to happen if we go seeking after the wells of human philosophy and all of the wells of human knowledge, and we forget about the treasure of God's Word that's set before us. He says, you want to know that which is truly beneficial to the saving of the soul, you're going to turn to the pages of God's Word. And also think about 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Paul has just told Timothy, preach the Word. The reason is, in verse 3 and 4, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The point I simply want to make is this. You will be able to find what you're seeking. You want somebody to preach unto you lies? You want somebody to preach unto you just simply that which you want to hear, that which makes you comfortable? You'll find it. If you seek it, it likely will not be hard. You'll find it. But if you want to know the treasures of God's Word, it's set before you as well. It too can be found. And oh, what a greater value we should place on that than earthly treasures. Earthly treasures that we may or may never find. But spiritual wisdom that if we seek after can and will be found. And be of much greater value. Then also he says, like earthly treasure, which is unlike earthly treasure, which is limited, wisdom is plentiful. Again, go back to the same illustration of these treasure hunters. We said only one team was going to find the treasure. Only one team would find it. And you know what? Within that box, only a limited amount of treasure would be found. For this particular show, $3 million. I guess you need to recognize that 30% of that was about to go out of the window. That limits it even more. And you have to split that among the three people. Probably wouldn't take them, if they weren't wise, very long to make it through that $3 million. Then what were they left with? An empty treasure chest. The memories of their hunt. Nothing else. And all the other nine teams, they go home empty-handed. There's nothing for them. There is only so much treasure. In fact, we think about the valuable things of this earth. Why are they valuable? Because typically we think of them as being in limited supply. How expensive is water, dirt? Some places far more than it should be, but it's plenteous. Especially here in this nation, we have an abundant supply of fresh drinking water. We have dirt that everywhere you look around, you can just about find dirt. Not all that expensive. But it's not oftentimes you just go digging in your backyard and maybe come across diamonds or gold or other such things. We recognize those things as being in a limited supply, and we recognize them as being precious and valuable, and so a greater price is placed upon them than other more common things. And they're limited. It's not an exhausted or an unemptiable supply. There's only so much to go around. But that's not true of wisdom. First thing we're going to notice about wisdom is that there is plenty for the individual. Think of yourself first, coming to the wells of wisdom that God has set before us in His Word. You're not going to drain them dry. Particularly focus on chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. The merchandise of it, that is wisdom and understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Wisdom is a far greater treasure than anything else that you can imagine in this life. And there's plenty of it. There is enough to go around. We talk oftentimes about the great treasure that we have here in God's Word and how the depths of it can never fully be explored. Day by day, we could spend all of our lives poring over the pages of God's Word and yet still learning more and more and appreciating more and more the treasures that are found therein. We cannot exhaust it. We cannot ever reach to the bottom of it. We'll never come up and open the pages of God's Word and say it's now just an empty treasure box, but the treasure's all gone. No, you can drink from it as long as you desire. As long as you will. And it will still be full. You still will not be able to plunge to the depths of it. You'll never reach the bottom. You'll never exhaust it. You will never run out of it. And so again, it certainly is of great value. He says it's of more valuable than anything that we can picture in this earth. We go over to chapter 4 of Proverbs, and he says in verse 8, "Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Thou shall also, she shall also bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her." In verse 13 of Proverbs 8, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." This is what's valuable. This is what's going to help you. And you are never going to exhaust that treasure. That places a greater value on it by far than anything we can find in this life. But not just for the individual. There is plenty for all. Why is Solomon sharing these things with his son? Doesn't he know that by sharing something we have to give part of it up? Isn't that the struggle we have between our children? When Seth and Hannah want to play with the same toy, the problem is, if Seth shares the toy, he no longer has it. Hannah does. If Hannah has the toy and she shares it, she no longer has the toy. I don't want to share it. Why is Solomon sharing this wisdom with his son? Doesn't he know that's going to take something away from him? Oh no. Here is something much like we talk about love that can be shared, and the value of it and the appreciation of it will only increase. There's plenty to go around. We don't have to hoard treasure to ourselves when we're talking about spiritual treasure and spiritual wisdom. In fact, here is a message that was meant to be shared, that was designed to be shared. Solomon was only enriched by trying to share these things with his son. His son would be able to be enriched and hopefully be able to pass that down to generations and generations, and still all the value and all the worth of that wisdom would still be there from the mouth of God. It's plenty for all. It wouldn't be exhausted. That's the same thing we find when we come into the New Testament. Here we have a great treasure of God's Word that's set before us. And Jesus says, take this message that I give you. Not take it and hoard it, but take this message and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Matthew 28 and verse 18. Take this message that I've given unto you and share it with all of the world. Everybody. And it still will not be exhausted. And that's exactly what we find the first century church doing. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the Word, not hoarding it to themselves, desiring indeed to share it with others. And I think we get this principle even as we go back to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. Jesus speaking here to those disciples that had been granted these miraculous abilities to help other people. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. You've been given this power, this opportunity, this ability to help others. You've been given it freely. Now you go out freely and give it. We haven't been given those miraculous abilities, but we've given the great treasure and the benefits of God's Word, and they've been given freely. Will we not also now take that which we have been blessed by which we have been greatly built up and edified, and also share it forth with others? It's not a message to be hoarded. It's not a message to keep to ourselves. Thinking of the words of the song that unfortunately have left me once again. But it speaks of the great treasure that we have of God's Word. That reminds us of this same principle. You have freely received. But there are many others that need that message. Here we have the message of hope, the message of life, the message of eternal life with God in heaven. What are we going to do with it? Let us ever recognize the great treasure that we have in God's Word. And let us value it in our lives. Let us seek after it. And let us share it with others. I'm going to close with these ideas from Job chapter 28. As Job also recognizes the place of wisdom. Because he begins by asking the question in verse 12, where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Verse 13, man knoweth not the price thereof, and neither it is found in the land of the living. Where is it that we can find this wisdom? Where is it we can find this great treasure? Man doesn't even fully appreciate the great value of it. And he's going to go on there in verse 13 and following and talk about how you can ascend to the greatest height, you can descend to the lowest depth, you can travel everywhere in this world, and you cannot find the source of it. Where will it be found? Oh, verse 23. God understands the way thereof. He knoweth the place thereof. Where is it? Job 12 and verse 28. Unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. Depart from evil is understanding. The source thereof indeed is God's Word. Are we treasure hunters? Again, not of earthly treasure that's quickly going to fade away, that one day will leave us with nothing, but of a great spiritual treasure. Are we seeking that treasure as one might seek out a physical treasure of this life? Let us appreciate the value of what's been given into our hands and ever desire more and more to probe it, to learn from it, and to follow the principles and the words that we find therein. Therein is wisdom. Therein is understanding, and indeed therein is great reward. We spoke about some of those rewards even this morning as we talked about the spiritual blessings that are available in Christ Jesus. Available to those that have been baptized into Christ, having heard His Word, believed it, repented of their sins, and confessed Christ. Putting on their Lord in baptism, becoming a New Testament Christian, being added unto His body, the church which He promised to save, then continuing faithfully with Him. Looking forward to that eternal life, as we stumble, we fall, we have the opportunity once again to repent of our sins, to confess them, to turn once again before God and follow His will. Then those that are faithful even unto death shall receive that crown of righteousness, that crown of life, that great crown of eternal reward. Let us seek those things daily, every opportunity we have in life, and perhaps you're subject to that invitation to either tonight be restored into a faithful relationship with God or to become a New Testament Christian, begin that walk of faith. If we can help you in those things, won't you come? Even now, as together we stand and sing.